Making Art in a Time of Political Protest. It's Art Talk on KCRW. Well, it's hard to imagine today, but it wasn't that long ago, 50, 60 years ago, that politically Los Angeles was a more conservative place to live, the Eisenhower years, if you will. But the Bay Area was a bit different. San Francisco was home to the counterculture, the anti-conservative, which lended itself to a slew of creative and artistic works that showed the area's dissatisfaction with the status quo. Art critic Hunter Drohoyoska-Philp is here to talk about some of the art that came out of that time and where we can see it today. Hi, Hunter.
Hi, Steve.
Here we are just a few days after a most recent election. Some people in shock, others happy, I guess, across the country. We see protests going on in California, so some folks here not so happy. It's very similar to the things that were happening in San Francisco back in the 50s. How have artists typically responded to conservatism?
Well, here in California, there was the most radical response was in San Francisco. People who were frustrated with the way things were going in Los Angeles, they went there. And it turns out that a new book by Anastasia Okerman, published by UC Press, which is called Welcome to Painterland, talks about the number of artists who went to San Francisco and all lived in this one apartment building on Fillmore Street. And this is about their camaraderie and about their mutual influences and about how they were quite consciously taking a stance against the more conservative traditions of making art that were everywhere else in California and across the country.
Explain their connection. How did they all get to this one? Did they know each other before they got to the apartment building? Did this cultivate while they were living there?
Well, that's what's so interesting. I mean, they kind of came like one by one or two by two, but some of the best known are sort of Wally Hedrick and Jay DeFeo, and there were a number of others as well. Bruce Conner, who is the linchpin of all of this, did not live in the building but moved in nearby, and he's the one who forms what he called the Rat Bastard Protection Association. And that was his name for this collective of artists. And he named himself president and the host of all the meetings. And there's an exhibition at the Landing here, the gallery, which this writer has organized. It has works by all the artists who lived in this building, including Hedrick and DeFeo and a lot of some artists from L.A. who moved up there in response to their political impulses. So you'll see work in this show that is not just painting and sculpture. You'll see a lot of things made out of assemblage or collage, and there'll be performances because poets and musicians were a power to this scene. And what's interesting is you rarely see this material together. There's a lot of material you've never seen before by artists who may have sort of faded from history.
It's interesting to me, Hunter, because this seems to me like some sort of visualized analogy to the Beat Generation.
Well, it's definitely part of the Beat Generation, but it's a West Coast interpretation. And Allen Ginsberg did come and participate there, and the jazz musicians were very much a part of the San Francisco culture were there. And of course, Wallace Berman and George Herms, both originally from Los Angeles, were crucial to the Beat ethos. And they would use collage. They would use everyday objects. Bruce Conner actually managed to get himself rejected from the draft by showing up at his interview carrying one of his assemblages, a thing he called a rat bastard. It was an assemblage with a little carrying handle on the top of it. And apparently they were so horrified by the appearance of, you know, this thing made out of old nylon stockings and you know, canvas and paint that they just said, no, we don't need you.
There is another show of works. You mentioned the woman Jay DeFeo, the artist from the late 1980s after she visited Japan. What do we know about that?
Well, there are a couple of small works in the show at the Landing. You know, they're from the 1950s. And you see how potent she was even then as a painter. She's really known for making these really monumental, heavy-duty paintings such as The Rose. But those were in the 50s, and here it is, like, you know, decades later, and there's a show at Mark Selwyn Fine Art that examines her paintings on paper. The shows in L.A. are open till January 7th. Everybody has a long time to see them, and they really are completely worthwhile.
All right. Hunter Drohoyoska-Philp with this week's Arts. Hunter, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.